Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Of course, since it is Wednesday, the new blog went up this morning, so get on over there and check that out. But while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at
Dan the Man with three.
Ooh. All right, Dan, so I've decided that, like, 2017 already in the baseball season is, like, the year of the injury. Because I saw today three more pitchers went on the DL. Your guy Edison Volquez went on the DL. They said he had, I got it right here, a thumb blister. So he was placed on the 10-day DL. Cole Hamels was scratched from his start yesterday because he had lat tightness, and he's on the DL. They're now saying he's going to miss up to 8 weeks. And Corey Kluber came out of his start last night after three innings. He's now on the 10-day DL, and there's no timeline right now for his return. What the hell is going on, Dan, with these guys?
Well, it's like you said, everyone's got to throw 100,000 miles an hour.
I still get so baffled by this that, you know, everybody's hurt now, and I mean, you know, obviously there were injuries before in the game. I mean, it's been, you know, there's been guys getting hurt since they started playing baseball. But, yeah, do we know more medically and that's the problem, is we see something and we know it's an injury right away, when maybe back in the 60s or the 70s they didn't know it and the guy just kept going out there and pitching?
I think that could be part of it, but I still think a big part of it is and I know this would upset a lot of people, but I think the workout regimen are a little too much.
I know somebody mentioned that with somebody actually mentioned that with Noah Syndergaard. I guess in the off season, he decided he wanted to add some muscle, and you know, now he's hurt. He's got what did they call it? Was it a pulled lat or a strained lat or? Whatever he's got, I know they're saying he's looking for a second opinion on his condition. But yeah, you think? I mean, I don't believe, you know, back in the day, as you would say it, or however you want to look at it, that, you know, a lot of those guys did a bunch of weight training as pitchers. You know, do you think this? You know, you really think that could be the leading cause here? Is now they're muscled up freaks?
I think so. I mean, I don't personally think there's anything wrong, obviously, but I know when I wrestled, it was a lot harder to continue the body training than when I didn't. You know, there was times in between where I had time off because of, you know, this or that. And in that time off, I would just strictly lift weights, and I felt great. But in between that, I also didn't do any other physical activities. So, you know, the minute I started wrestling again, you know, injuries occurred quicker, it seemed like. But, you know, I wasn't obviously on the WWE level, where, I mean, you've seen these guys. The ones that worked a couple of years straight, yeah, they look big on TV, but, you know, what is that? Well, it's maybe a little bit of extra help from a substance, but a lot of shaving and a lot of baby oil and a lot of light hitting you the right way.
Yeah, you gotta shoot it, you shoot it from the right way. I believe I heard a realtor say if you shoot it from the right way, you can make it look bigger. So
Yeah, but I mean, and I know there's gonna be guys that say, "Oh, you're wrong. Look at Mike Trout and his workouts." But I mean, I think they're a little over the top, the stuff he does.
yeah, and he's also not a pitcher.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the three guys I brought up, or the four guys actually, are all pitchers. And I mean that, that seems to be a bigger emphasis there on,
Yeah, but I mean, even
these
then, if you look,
guys.
I know stolen bases don't matter anymore, but remember when Mike Trout was stealing 40 stolen bases? That's who had it.
Well, then it mattered. So,
Yeah,
that kind
but.
of, when it's weird, if Mike Trout was to do that again, they would matter. It's just for whatever reason there's so much Mike Trout love there that it's just amazing. So, even, I don't have to watch him to know he's a great player. I don't have to listen to these idiots tell me he's a great player. I know all that. He wasn't the American League MVP last year. They just kissed his butt so much they gave him the award. They just want to talk about him winning all this stuff, but it's the overutilization of the sabermetric stat world that's doing this. I mean, you and I have been over this a million times where the players could give crap one about it. They want to go in and watch the video of their swing and see what they did, or whatever the scouting report says, or all that crap. I mean, they don't care about their launch angle or what Statcast said, or their exit velocity, or anything like that. That's for the dorks and the guys who weren't talented enough to play the game at any point in time in their life, with any success, but they enjoy it enough and want to be involved in it. So they have their own little club now, and they can do that. And so far, they've been able to sell it to everybody as it meaning something, but in reality, it doesn't.
Well, I mean, even if you go on Major League Baseball's website, they list the only official stats that they use.
So yeah, and I mean, what was, the first thing they did was, they killed off batting average. Okay, batting average doesn't mean anything now. And then they, we've talked about WAR. I mean, you can kind of adjust WAR to almost make it say whatever you want it to say. If you want this guy to have the best WAR, well, you finagle it a little bit, so this guy's got the best WAR.
Well,
It's not that difficult.
you just put a new word in front of it, like defensive war or second in the
Right.
lineup war.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's, yeah, you just add it in. He's got the best WAR for a, right-handed hitting under the age of 22 right fielder. I mean, you plug in what you got to plug in, and I know Mr. Fantasy has been really heavy on what they call BABIP, which is like batting average on balls in play or something like that. And what's odd is, I mean, I thought kind of your batting average reflected how you did on balls in play, doesn't it? I mean, what's the
Yeah.
difference? So,
Well, I think, well, balls in play is just, that's counting, anytime you hit a ground ball, raise the fly out. But I mean, it was an out, so it didn't count as a hit. So putting the ball in play really doesn't garner anything. I think sacrifice flies and bunts mean more than balls in play.
Yeah,
At least in sports.
that's the new thing. Sabermetrics has killed off basically the sacrifice bunt is, unless you're a pitcher, there's no need to even be sacrifice bunting anymore, according to them, because they would rather give you the opportunity of hitting the home run, even if you struck out 200 times a year. It doesn't matter, because you can hit that home run. So, the fun stuff they get to do. But you know, I guess if it, I don't know, keeps the game alive or gets more people interested in it, I don't know if it's doing its job, but, you know, it might not be a bad thing then. I don't know if it's, it doesn't seem to be attracting more fans to the game. I mean, I don't think the younger generation, they're looking to kind of get attached to baseball, cares about that kind of stuff, you know, unless they're hardcore fantasy players or something, or, you know, they're playing their daily fantasy. And since I brought up daily fantasy, I just want to let you know, I didn't see a Mr. Fantasy lineup today. So we're, it looks like you're on your own for FanDuel. You know, he was close last night. I think his lineup scored about 140 or 142 points. So if you were in the right league, you probably got your money back. If not, you probably lost. You went his route. Just hopefully you did better than he did. But it looks like I said, it looks like nothing today unless it rolls in here in the next little bit. Then I'll throw it out there for you real quick. So, you know, we'll see. But, I know, Dan, we already had one cancellation. I saw they already canceled the Brewers-Cardinals game due to the weather down there in St. Louis. But, we do still have a full run of games here. We've got the Blue Jays at the Yankees. That's actually the Mickey Mouse Network game of the night, Dan. That should be starting in about 20 minutes. The Diamondbacks at the Nationals, the Orioles at the Red Sox, the Indians at the Tigers, the Pirates at the Reds, the Marlins at the Rays, the Mets at the Braves, the Phillies at the Cubs, the A's at the Twins, the Rangers at the Astros, the White Sox, that is, at the Royals, the Angels at the Mariners, the Giants at the Dodgers, and the Rockies at the Padres. Of course, Dan, we got to go back and we got to talk about the Orioles and the Red Sox. You mentioned right before we came on air that the Red Sox fans, along with a little goading from Mookie Betts, gave Adam Jones a standing ovation last night. Betts then ended up getting hit in the hip by Orioles starter Kevin Gausman. So then in return, Chris Sale throws behind Manny Machado. Major League Baseball has already stepped in. Dan, apparently both teams received calls from the commissioner, Rob Manfred, and, of course, the director of, I know he's got another title, but he's really the director of discipline, Joe Torre, and said, enough's enough, this is over. They're going to issue a warning before the game to both teams. So what do you think, Dan? Does anybody get hit tonight?
No.
And it is. It's Kevin Gausman and Drew Pomerantz making the start for their teams. So, I'm sure you wouldn't want to lose a starter right away. Now, you know, I am curious, Dan. You know, I was never really a pitcher. And obviously, you know, never in this type of situation. You know, I pitched a couple innings here and there. But if you're going out in this situation, even as a major leaguer, are you concerned about throwing inside now? You know, because if one gets away, you're gone.
I mean, yes and no. But, I mean, at the same time, that's why they have appeals.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, if you think about it, you know, the Orioles are the visitors. So say, you know, their first three batters, it's Jody Rickard, Adam Jones, and Manny Machado. They're 1, 2, and 3. I'm looking at their lineup right now. Say, you know, Pomerantz actually lets one get a little too far inside and, you know, it hits Jones on his elbow guard. Well, you know, they've been warned if the umpire goes by the letter of the law, Pomerantz is gone. Now the Red Sox just lost their starter after a third of an inning. That puts them in quite a hole. Do you think maybe that means we're working the outer third of the plate most of the night here with these guys?
You would try. But, I mean, I think you can I don't know exactly what Torre said, but I would assume that it's a judgment call on the umpire. You can definitely tell what's intentional and what's not.
Yeah, you know, you would like to think, I know some guys get carried away and just, you know, that's it, you hit them, you're gone. But, you know, I mentioned the first three hitters in the Oriole lineup. The rest of their lineup looks like this. Mark Schimmel's in the cleanup spot. Chris Davis is 5. Jonathan Scope is 6. Trey Mancini's 7. J.J. Hardy's 8. And Caleb Joseph is hitting 9th. The Red Sox are going with Dustin Pedroia, Andrew Benintendi, Mookie Betts, Hanley Ramirez. Dan's guy Xander Bogaerts in the 5 spot. Mitch Moreland is 6. Chris Young's getting the start tonight in left field at 7th. Marco Hernandez is 8th, and then Christian Vasquez is doing the catching tonight for the Red Sox. So there you go. That's a 6-10 start for Dan and I, so they got about 25 minutes before they get rolling. But, yeah, I think it's kind of interesting. I almost wonder, you know, if an umpire would make that judgment call and be like, well, you know, it was just incidental. It wasn't, you know, because that could be a big deal.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think, obviously they're not going to go ahead on it tonight. And, you know, it's just, I think it depends on the sequence of pitches.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've always liked Chris Sale, and, I've been a fan since he was here from the White Sox. I think he's one of the better pitchers in baseball, but it was incredibly stupid last night for him to throw behind Machado like that. You know, nobody's buying the excuse that they ran out there. I think the manager tried to say it was because he was up over the 100 pitch mark or something like that. And it's like, yeah, just go away. I think Sale and the manager need to be hit with a heavy fine. The ball that hit Betts just was kind of a running fastball that went in. And it was waist high. Some people have pointed out that they thought it was intentional, but I'm not as sold on it as a lot of those guys were. So, you know, we'll see. But yeah, I the whole thing just seems kind of stupid, and they need to, they need to get past it and play some, you know, get back to playing baseball and stop dealing with this crap.
Well, I think part of it is if it's on Machado, he gets, because he's obviously been the target.
So, yeah, well, you know, and that's the other odd thing is the fact, it's like, you know, if you're going to hit the guy, well, God, will you hit him already? You know, and, well, you know, apparently they said they were upset because he homered 2 days ago, and it took, I think they said 29.9 seconds to get around the bases. And it's like, yeah, I would have taken my time, too, after the way you guys have been basically gunning at me. You know, I would have stood there and admired it and looked at it and done all the other fun stuff that, you know, you can do with it while you're going around the bases. But, yeah, apparently they took offense to that. So, you know, we'll have to see if anything else comes. You know, tonight, like you said, I doubt we'll get anything coming of it tonight because they – you know, they've already been warned and, you know, there's so much going on, but these guys play quite a few games against each other. So we'll have to see if it's something that can continue. So, yeah, I know I can tell you're excited for it. You're going to go out and watch that game. Every time Machado comes up, you're going to turn that game on to see what happens.
Well, I mean, if you're like me and you have your amps up or your tablet in your hand, MLB, I'm sure, will be sending out the live look-in every time Machado comes to bat.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm sure if you're just, you know, sitting on the couch, I'm sure MLB TV will cut it every time he comes up, too. You know, especially if anything close to interesting happens, you know, they're going to jump all over that. So, but, you know, I am wondering, Dan, if you can help us out. Now, you know, I'm not quite sure how I managed to do this, but in our money league, Later in the draft, not too late because these guys are pretty sharp with the guys they pick, but, late enough, I convinced Mr. Fantasy to take Julio Urias. Now, we had to sit through the first month of him basically pitching an instructional league, but somehow we still hung on to him, even though he was my guy. Mr. Fantasy didn't cut him, which is also a miracle if you have listened to the podcast before. You know how he treats my guys. He's going up against the Giants tonight. They've been scuffling a little bit. Are we going to get a good outing? Because I think, believe it or not, Mr. Fantasy actually put him in our starting rotation for the week. So are we going to get a quality start and he's going to go, seven shutout innings against the 10 and 18 Giants?
Or he'll go 5.5 or 5 1/3.
Yeah, I guess depending on his pitch count, it's more likely he'll go 5 than he will 7. I know they're, very mindful of, his pitches and his count and all the other stuff that goes with it because, God forbid we send a kid out there and actually let him learn how to pitch in the majors, but, we wouldn't want to do that. But, yeah, I was more humored by the fact that he actually stuck with one of my guys when he got sent to the minors. And, did he have a decent start last time out? Do you remember? I believe it was only a 5-inninger before, wasn't it?
I believe so.
I'm trying to see if I can find it real fast while we're talking about it. But, yeah, it seems to be his thing. I mean, it's as much talent as we keep hearing this kid has, we never really get to see it on display because he never pitches more than, in reality, 4 or 5 innings. I mean, he has some of the shorter starts in Major League Baseball. Yeah, when he's pitching well. So, 5 2/3, is that what you saw? So, yeah, and he only gave up 4 hits. He did give up a run. He walked 4. He struck out 4. That's a little bit of a high walk total for 5 2/3 innings. But, I guess we'll see what he can do tonight. I mean, it'll be interesting. But now, how important is he to this Dodger rotation, Dan? Because, Rich Hill seems to be injured quite a bit. They just put Hyun-Jin Ryu back on the DL. I mean, the guy spent the better part of the last 3 seasons on the DL. How badly do they need Urias to actually almost kind of be the number 2 behind Kershaw, don't they, at this point?
Yeah, they definitely need Urias to be the number 2. I mean, like you said in the past, it's not easy to draft pitchers and develop them. Easier is to buy them as someone else develops them. So, giving him that time down in the minors, I think maybe just to handle control, hopefully that helps for him. And he can throw a good outing against the Giants tonight. I mean, they may not be playing well, but it is still a major league team, and they still have great hitters on their team.
Yeah, you would think, if he can just keep them in the game, even if he gives up 3 or, maybe even 4 runs with this Dodger team, that's still good enough for them to win. And, he's got the impressive ERA after one start at 1.59. So, if he's anywhere in that range, if he only gives up 2 runs, they should be in a pretty good position to win tonight, shouldn't they?
It's almost been kind of like what we've seen here in Chicago on, kind of both sides of the team or the city. Unfortunately for Jose Quintana, Chris Sale left, and he took over for Chris Sale. And as in, when he pitches, it doesn't matter how good he pitches, the Sox don't score just for him. it's like one night you'll have Rondell, Turner, and, add another guy into the hat that have a hot night, but then the rest of the week, you're not getting that out of the Dodgers offense.
Yeah, and you know, you wonder, you know, how it will be. Didn't they score, was it 13 last night? I mean, they put up big runs on the Giants, and my guy Matt Moore, who I have in one of our fantasy leagues, I thought that would be a brilliant pick, and obviously I'm a moron, but yeah, I think they the sad part is I have Jeff Samardzija too, and he's pitching tonight. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, I thought it was 13. I want to double-check here.
15 to 5.
Make sure. Yeah, 13 to 5. So I remember seeing Cody Bellinger clear the bases with a triple on one of the highlights this morning. So, I don't know. Maybe it'll be one of those tough nights where they don't score.
Yeah, well, you know, with Jeff Samardzija, you have to anticipate that if they do score, they're going to get at least 4 runs. But, I mean, on the same token, the Dodgers did way outscore the Giants, but the Giants actually had one more hit than the Dodgers did at 12. You know, I don't know how many balls in play there were between either team.
Yeah.
Are you supposed to laugh at that or, you know, make some kind of sly comment? The Giants are hitting. They're just not scoring.
Yeah, well, can you tell me what their BABIP was last night, Dan, by any chance?
We're trying to figure it out. But you know, unfortunately, that's not in the in the column. There's no column for balls in play. You know, it should be right next
and,
to
And, you know,
the
while you're – while you, yeah, while you were looking at it, what was Julio Urias's WAR for that first game? So,
oh wait, Major League Baseball doesn't count that stat, so it's not on there. Or use that stat.
So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that goes for us, because oddly, I believe we not only have Urias on our roster, but we also have Clayton Kershaw. So we're automatically Dodger heavy with starting pitching. So, but we've been posting some of the higher scores in that league. So hopefully that keeps up for us. You know, and I am in the doghouse now anyways with Mr. Fantasy Dan, because I blocked the trade for Joey Gallo that he wanted to make because I wanted to stick with Gurriel as our third baseman. So.
Lenny's two positions.
Yeah, well, you know, that was the other reason I kind of wanted to hang on to him, because he's hitting really well. And, you know, obviously now if we need him, we can plug him in at first. But, yeah, he got sold on Gallo because he's hitting home runs, even though I think he's hitting like 220 on the season. But, yeah, the one guy in the league sold him on Gallo, and it was just kind of like, you know, and then, of course, they wanted our top reliever for him. And it's like, dude, you know, we only have 2 closers. You know, it's like if we give a one away, we're never going to win saves. But, you know how he gets with a guy. If he's sold on a guy, we got to go get the guy. And I was trying to tell him for how long we have extra outfielders. I said, if you want to make a trade, go talk to the guys who just lost Adam Eaton and deal them one of our backup outfielders. We have plenty of outfielders to trade. But, no, that wasn't it. He was stuck on Joey Gallo, but since we swept our matchups last week, I think he's over it, and you know, we'll see how it goes here. If we scuffle and lose a couple, I'm sure he'll be right back on the bandwagon.
Yeah, and I did want to update you. MLB Players of the Month: Ryan Zimmerman and Mike Trout.
Yeah, we don't make Dan do Players of the Month. He only does Players of the Week. So we're okay there. And it's Fantasy Players of the Week, not, you know, so it can be a little different. So don't hound Dan for his picks. But, yeah, I saw that. Did they have who the pitchers of the month are?
That was just what was on Instagram. I have to double check. But I did want to make you laugh a little bit because I, you know, we made a trade, Will Myers for Nolan Arenado. I don't know if it's finished processing yet. Because I was kind of not having a first baseman. And then shortly after I accepted the trade, Jay Bruce qualifies for first baseman.
Well, Myers is a better first baseman anyway, so you're okay there.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, yeah, well, you know, it was funny because you know, obviously I heard you saying you were looking for first base help, and I need third base help, so that worked out nicely.
Yeah, but I mean, I've got Justin Smoke on the burner, and he's been pretty hot right now. I'm hoping that the guy I offered to trade to will take it. but, you know, we'll see.
Well, you know, if not, Myers actually still up, I think, a right fielder if you need help there, too.
No, well, that's I've got outfield, so I'm so deep. But Jay Bruce is the first right fielder, too.
Yeah. You've cornered the you're the new Mr. Fantasy with first baseball. Look at that. So.
Yeah, and the pitchers of the month, Ivan Nova and Dallas Keuchel, rookies of the month, Antonio Senzavelli and Aaron Judge.
Yeah, I'm not surprised Judge was rookie of the month. He's been the talk of the town. I heard apparently Joe Girardi compared him to Derek Jeter last night in his post-game interview.
Yeah, well, he's a little bit like Jeter to me.
Yeah, so, you know, aren't we all like a little bit like Jeter? Or all, we all want to be a little bit like Jeter? Maybe some of us more in how his personal life used to be, but, you know, that's just kind of how it goes.
I mean, I'm sure that's great and all, but once you start throwing that out there, the expectations, I think, become a little bit higher.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, the kid came up last year and did nothing but strike out. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he struck out like it was literally almost three out of every four at bats. And, you know, he made the adjustments and he's doing obviously fantastic. But, yeah, I don't understand why you would want to drop that on him one frickin' month into the major league season. You know, that just – it seems like a stupid comment from a veteran manager who really should know better.
Yeah.
So
he's turning into one of those guys, though, that just – you know, for kind of the crap that we give Joe Madden here in Chicago – he doesn't really stick his foot in his mouth or make stupid comments like Joe Girardi seems to. You remember the shift? Oh, it should be illegal to do the shift.
Yeah.
But then David Ortiz comes up, and every at-bat he puts a shift on him.
Yeah, and they've got six guys standing in short right field, you know. So.
Yeah. It looks like a softball.
Yeah.
Pitch.
Yeah,
I think
as the game progresses,
he's going to turn into one of those crazy old guys. Almost like a
Yeah, he's really well on his way, isn't he? I mean, I don't kind of get some of the things. I mean, I don't know why you would want to, you know, drop a bomb on your rookie who, you know, obviously is off to a fantastic start. You know, I mean, just don't do it. I mean, you know, they showed the highlight, I guess, his home run in batting practice yesterday, bounced in the concession stand and broke a television. You know, I mean, he's hit some, you know, some mammoth blasts. I mean, he's got 12 bombs. He's hitting .313 for the month. And in reality, he is still striking out a lot. He's got 26 strikeouts in 24 games. So, but, you know, obviously his other play makes up for it. He made a really good diving catch last night as well. He's a solid defender with a, you know, really good arm. But, Dan, what I want to ask is, how would you like to have a second baseman on your team who hit .360 the first month of the year with five bombs? How about that guy?
Who is that? Robinson Cano? Brian Dozier?
So, well, no, I just happened to be looking at the Yankee stats, Dan, and Starlin Castro had a .360 month with five bombs and 16 RBI. So.
I didn't even look. I know I don't even take him out. I think I have him in one league. I just leave him at second base.
Yeah, not too bad of a year for a guy who was the scapegoat for everything went wrong before the Cubs got good. So, you know, not too bad at all.
Kicking dirt because he was on a crappy team.
Yeah, you know. So, and I, you know, obviously he's, you know, he's much more, he looks much more relaxed defensively at second than he did at short. You know, you just wonder if maybe the pressure of being the face of the franchise was getting to him. You know, especially when you're the face of a bad franchise. So,
well, and it's funny because you say that they brought in Anthony Rizzo to kind of be the face. Yet, as far as Starlin Castro being there, he was still the man. He was still the face of the team.
Yeah, you know, now obviously, you know, Rizzo's got it easy. You know, they've been a winning team for the past few seasons. You know, he's got his, you know, his World Series under his belt, you know, and he's still a young guy. You know, plus he's got Chris Bryant there to help him. So, but I did find this kind of interesting, Dan. You know, I know you and I aren't huge all-star guys on, you know, who – you know, when the fans pick the teams and, you know, that kind of stuff. But it does look like we're headed for, and obviously whoever stuffs the ballot box is going to win. But it should be a pretty interesting battle at first base this season in the National League. You know, obviously Anthony Rizzo was voted in last year. No surprise, you know, there. But, you know, Will Myers, who you just got in that trade, is off to a good start. You know, so's Paul Goldschmidt. You know, there's some of the names we know. You know, Joey Votto's done, you know, about little Joey Votto-like. But then, you know, you got the guys, you know, Ryan Zimmerman has been pretty much the best player in baseball the first month. Eric Thames has been right there as well. And then, you know, you can't sleep on Freddie Freeman. Being that it's all-stars, you know, you can't really say, well, this guy's going to win it, but – you know, you got to vote, Dan. You know, barring your Cubdom and the fact that you'd probably have to cast it for Rizzo, who deserves it? You know, you're going to go out on a limb and vote for, like, Mark Reynolds with the start he got off to for the Rockies?
Well, I mean, that's what I was going to say. It's kind of hard. You really have to look at it. And I mean, I think it would kind of come between Sames and Zimmerman. And, you know, with the popularity of the game, I think if it were down to those two, Zimmerman would probably get it over Thames. Unless the, I don't know if you checked your Facebook page today, but unless the Eric Thames theme song, or what is the chair song, catches on, and, you know, little corny things like that can kind of take legs and, or take wings and just kind of take off and grow on its own.
Yeah, I did see that this morning while I was at work. You know, I couldn't read it because my Korean just isn't that good. But yeah, I did see it. So, I do wonder, you know, how it'll kind of shuffle out. I mean, I pretty much fully expect Rizzo to go as the starter because, you know, Chicago, obviously the bigger metropolitan area, he's probably going to get the votes. And, you know, there are Cub fans all over the place. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if he ends up going again.
I mean, I get it, and it's about the fans. I really don't have a problem with it. Kind of like guys like Mr. Fantasy who get super upset about it. They took away the the home field advantage. So I think it'll be a lighthearted game. It'll be for fun. And, you know, like you and I have said, it's literally the only all-star game where it's actually played like a game. And the fact that they've taken a lot of the rules out, a lot of things out, and implemented rules in regular games, you know, it's not like we're going to have a Pete Rose incident down at home plate or anything like that. The only issue I kind of have is, I mean, why is it open so early? I mean, if you want to open it, I don't think voting should be open until June. You know, you've got the entire month of May to kind of advertise and you know, get people ready and then vote in June.
Yeah, it's so tough now, you know, to make a decision on a guy after watching him play 1 month. You know, I mean, obviously Ryan Zimmerman has been great. Eric Thames has been great. You know, neither of these guys have a career trajectory that, you know, you can really look on. I know Zimmerman's been around a long time with the Nationals, but, you know, he's had his injury issues and, you know, a lot of things have went on with this guy. So it's tough to say, you know, he's going to stay close to this path. I mean, obviously, you know, you don't expect him to hit 400, but, you know, he's going to stay close to this path. Or, you know, Thames may be a guy where they just don't have a good book on him yet. And, you know, he's been gone for a little while. Well, maybe they figure him out and he struggles a little bit this next month. Well, you know, I've already cast my vote for him. I can't go back and change it. I know you can vote like 180 times now, it seems like. So, you know, you can always just go in and cast another ballot. But, I don't understand the idea that it's got to be open now. You know, right, let's go. It's been a month. Let's go. We got to start voting for the All-Star game. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, and once the rest of the league catches hold of Eric Thames, Babbitt, War, and his how many times he bats in a game, you know, with both feet in the box, you know, that'll, I'm sure, affect him immediately. I'm sure they should have that all down right now.
Yeah, they might. You know, somebody somewhere probably, you know, probably has it set up somewhere.
Well, you know, some security guards probably put that still stands together already. So now the rest of the league will be able to just shut them down, right?
Yeah, you would think, right? Oh, hi, yeah. But, yeah, it should, you know, it should be, you know, the fun, you know, part is always kind of, well, you know, okay, well, who are they going to pick after that? You know, when it really is more of a selection going on, you know, who are the, you know, who's the coach going to pick or, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So. But, yeah. All right. Well, let's move over to the NBA here, Dan, and get the some games. Game two's rolling out. Got the I want to double check. You know, we got the Clippers. Yeah, like the Clippers are still in the playoffs. We got the Cavaliers and the Raptors already underway. It looks like Cleveland's up 10 early, 19-9, with about 5 minutes left in the first quarter. And then later we have Houston at San Antonio. You know, I guess really quickly on kind of the Cavs and the Raptors, Dan, is Toronto going to win a game?
I'm still holding out for one.
Because, yeah, I mean, you know, Cleveland was hugely dominant in game one. They're off to a really good start here in game two. And I'm just starting to wonder if, you know, maybe Toronto steals one at home and it goes five, you think?
I think so. But, I mean, in my mind, the next set in the series is the Cavs and Celtics.
Yeah.
I'm already done with the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I was so rooting for the Wizards, and the Celtics have just really buried them. You know, I know at least the game last night went to overtime, but, you know, they still ended up getting beat by 10. So, it's looking like it's not good for them.
Because they lost
Yes, they let him go. But, you know, interestingly, Dan, the second game tonight, we got Houston Rockets at the San Antonio Spurs. Now, you know, Houston won the first game in big fashion, I think by 30 points. And, you know, what's odd about this Rocket team is, you know, I think they hit 22 three-pointers in the game. So, obviously, they're the new wave of the NBA. You know, if they do that again, or can they do that again, Dan? And if they do, does San Antonio have a chance?
I mean, if they can stay on fire like that, like the Warriors did a couple of seasons ago, I don't think the Spurs have a chance.
You know, because, yeah, it's funny because when I heard the stat, and I wish I had it in front of me so I knew exactly kind of what they were or what, you know, what they were in the game or what they are. It was just, it was almost, you know, too good to be true. It was kind of like, wait, they shot what? But yeah, it's, you know, again, it's the new style. You know, this is what you get. I heard somebody explaining the reason to it, but I didn't. Yeah, here they were 22 of 50 on three-pointers. So, if they shoot 44% on threes, Dan, I don't even know if the Warriors could keep up with them in that situation. Could they?
What has been their percentage?
Yeah, you know, that I don't know, but you know, 44 is for a game is monstrous. You know, in return, the Spurs shot 31 in that game one. Let me see if I can find the. I can tell you what I can pull up the Warriors game from last night and tell you what they shot. You know, and see how that kind of compares. You know, obviously it's just a game one, so it's not a. You know, a huge thing. Looks like, yeah, the Warriors won by 12 last night against Utah. I heard somebody say it actually wasn't as close as the score said, but I didn't see the game. Obviously, being a West Coast game, I was kind of gone. Actually, the Warriors only shot 24% last night, Dan. 24.1. They were 7 of 29. So yeah, the oddly the Jazz actually shot better. They were 9 of 29 for 31%. So yeah, the Warriors had a bit of an off night shooting the basketball. Well, at least shooting the basketball from behind three.
Well, I know they don't have this yet. And maybe, you know, you and I can create it, but we'd actually have to go back and watch every game. But you know, how many of those were 4-point shots? Because, you know, Steph and Conklin like to shoot almost, you know, half quarters. I don't know. I think I'll be honest. I'm going to go out on a limb. Because, like you said, if Houston keeps up the way they're going, they're going to take San Antonio. I don't think it's going to be a sweep. I think San Antonio could still win at least two games. But if it's Houston, and I would have never said this in the beginning, well, in the beginning of the season, nor would I have said this, you know, the beginning of the playoffs, but I think if it's Houston and Golden State, I think Houston can win it.
Yeah, you know, and at least it should be exciting, right? I mean, it should just be up and down the floor with guys standing at the three-point line shooting, right?
pretty much. And it's
yeah, we may not see a dunk the whole series.
No, you might see like a handful of alley hoops. They're always good for that. But you know, it would be interesting to, and this one I'm not going to predict, but I think for the game as a whole, it would be much better. For excitement-wise, to see Houston versus the Celtics. I know that's not what ESPN and ABC, I think they're hosting the finals, ABC. I know they want, you know, Golden State and Cleveland so they can finish, you know, the trilogy, I guess you can call it. And but at the same time, it would be interesting because if you did get the Cavs and the Rockets aren't known for the defense, but I don't really know if the Cavs play a whole lot of D.
Yeah, no.
Right. I think the Celtics of all four teams, I think play a little bit better defense than anybody. of the four.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. You know, for some reason, the Warriors have always ended up being a pretty good defensive team. I don't know if that's because, you know, they get so far ahead of teams, they have to throw up threes to get try to get back in it, or how it works out. But, yeah, it's, you know, yeah, out of the teams that left, yeah, you know, Washington's not a very good defensive team. You know, I guess Toronto's okay, but, you know, like we were talking, there's very little chance they're going to get by Cleveland. You know, you're saying maybe they'll win a game. You know, at this point, I'm not even sure if they're going to do that. So yeah, it could be pretty high scoring conference finals.
Yeah.
So we'll have to.
So we're in the middle of the week though, so that means this series will not end until next weekend, so we won't get conference until maybe next Saturday, Sunday. Is that what we're looking at?
Yeah, you know, depending how long, because, you know, the NBA will adjust their schedule if, you know, we get sweeps. But, yeah, if things string out, I mean, we're looking at 2 weeks before the conference finals would start, probably.
Because the finals are set for, like, June 6th. I forget the exact day.
Yeah.
The finals, they're set. That day is not going anywhere.
So yeah, it looks. I mean, like here, I mean, it looks like if they were to go seven, they would run to May 14th or May 15th. So we would, you know, we would go. We could go at least that far with just this round.
Wow.
So.
Long.
Yeah, you know, and again, you know, like I said, you know, you and I have talked about this before. By the time the NBA finals come around, I don't care who wins because it's baseball season.
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of like, yeah, okay, what, you know, whatever. So, you know, just one of
those.
I
mean, I try and do a little catch up throughout the day and just see the game recaps from the NBA series, but. You know, much like the regular season, the first couple of rounds, they're exactly the way what you expected, right?
Yeah, you know, well, you know, Houston surprised me a little with the
yeah.
way they came out in game one and, you know, really, really
were
just
you a
blew
bit more
the
surprised?
Spurs out.
No, the Thunder. Were you more surprised by... Well, you know, like you said, it was the way they came out. But were you even more surprised by how the Thunder didn't really give them the challenge that you thought they would? I thought they gave them a bigger challenge. I didn't think it would be.
Yeah, well, you know, they're.
Quote,
so, yeah, they're. Yeah, you're right. It's the Thunder. They're playing the Spurs this round. I just added them in the first round. Yeah, you know, I think what they really, you know, they exposed the Thunder as the fact that it's Russell Westbrook and nobody else. And that team
yeah.
has to get him some help if they want to be competitive. You know, that's they've just got to find the right mix of guys to go with him. You know, because obviously he's going to dominate the ball, so he needs quality shooters around him to allow him to operate the way he does. But he needs guys to kick out to and knock down shots. And, you know, they just don't have that, but... Yeah, you know, I mean, I guess you could say you were a little surprised by the way the Clippers kind of choked off another playoff series with all the talent they have.
Yes.
But, yeah, in the East,
yeah
you know, in the East, I wasn't surprised by anything. I mean, it went – I thought Milwaukee had a chance, and they looked like they were going to get off, you know, get past Toronto. But I just think they were a little too young and inexperienced. You know, and you and I have said, you more than me have said, you know, it'd be nice to see what Jabari Parker could do. You know, maybe with a full season out of him and some playoffs, they're a better team next year. But, yeah, other than that, I wasn't surprised. I know we were all excited when the Bulls won the first two games, but that series went right back to form after that. So, you know, no issues there. But, yeah, it's tough to – it's tough to get excited about the first round of the NBA. I mean – you know, there were no real upsets. You know, I think technically the Jazz were the 5 seed, so technically that was an upset, but they had the exact same record going into the playoffs, so I don't even think you can call it that. You know, the Jazz and the Clippers. So, yeah, I mean, you know, did anything shock you? Was there anything you went, oh, okay, that, wow, I wasn't expecting that?
No, not really. I mean, I'm a little surprised that the Cavs swept.
Yeah. So.
But not
yeah, you know, it's weird. They always do seem to drop a game, you know, in their playoff series. But, yeah, not that round. They were – you know, I'll give them credit. I'm not the biggest Cavs fans, but they were on. You know, they really did, I guess, flip the switch, if you want to call it that, or however, you know, you want to say it. You know, and then oddly, you know, you get almost the exact opposite in the NHL playoffs. You know, in the Western Conference, you get the number one and the number two seed being eliminated, and the number one seed was freaking swept.
The Blackhawks?
Yeah. You know, you would never see that in the NBA where an 8 seed would go in and sweep a 1 seed out of the playoffs unless there was just catastrophic injuries to that number 1 seed, you know, going into that series.
Well, no, and you've got to wonder, going back a few years, wasn't it the last team that did – I don't remember if – they did it. They swept in the first round, but you know, the 8th seed that went to the finals and won was the Kings. Was that 13? No, that was the Blackhawks year. So that was probably 2012.
Yeah. I heard somebody say they were the best team in hockey right now yesterday, one of the NHL experts. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did. But, yeah, you know, it's just the, you know, the difference between the, you know, the NHL and the NBA is just shocking, you know. So, but I did want to ask you, Dan, I know we're running up against the clock here, and I assume you're going to have to step in and email somebody and figure this out. But I saw where the Huffington Post put out a review of the top, and I don't think we made the cut. So I'm wondering if you could maybe step in and find out how the hell you and I didn't make this list.
You broke up. The top what?
The top 10 podcasts in the world, or however you want to do it. And I don't think Sports Time Radio made it. And I felt you and I deserved to be there. I mean, how many other of these folks would, you know, 5 days a week? Or in our case, 6.
Yeah, sadly we're not John Heyman.
Yeah, I know. We're not paying them to put us in there. Oh, well. All right, it's time for Dan and I to leave. So get us in the top 10 next year, Huffington Post. Get on it, damn it. You know the deal while we're gone, though. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out the new blog that went up this morning. Follow the link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like. Don't forget the Twitter feed, which is @SportsTimeRadio. Dan and I are also out there on Twitter as well. You can hunt us down if you like. As always, a big thanks for listening live. And don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want now at tunein.com.